You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, March 12th, episode 3645, brought to you today by Stateline Tech. Good morning, horse people.
Well, instead of playing my usual opener today, I thought we'd do things a little differently because Wednesday is usually Horse Health Day. And one of our auditors posted this, and I thought it was very funny. This is Eloquy from Instagram. She did an Instagram reel on...
Why are your horses at the vet based on their breed? If you have a Welsh pony at the vet, they're 48 years old. Their heart actually stopped beating in 2011. But somehow, they're still moving. Despite the lack of heartbeat, they're fine. If you have an Appaloosa at the vet, they are either blind or going blind. If you have a quarter horse, the vet has had to come to you because they only have three legs. However, they keep telling you that they are fine and they do not need to see the vet. If you have an Exmoor at the vet, they're literally just there for their flu jab. They have never been sick, sorry, or taken a lame step in their lives. If you have an Arabian at the vet, they have escaped from their paddock, caused a 10-car pileup, committed a war crime, and are now a wanted felon. However, somehow, after all this, all they have is one tiny scrape to one of their legs. If you have a Haflinger at the vet, they breathed too close to a carrot and have gained 20 pounds and are now at risk of developing laminitis.
There you go. We never talked about the breeds of the vet. That's very funny. I especially like the Arab one.
I like the Appaloosa one was very accurate. Every Appaloosa I've ever had has moon blindness, you know, or something with the eyes. Bless them.
I love the breathe near a carrot. That's funny. Well, that was Eloquy on Instagram. So thank you for that. Today, we have a couple of returning guests. We have Devin Connolly coming out, and you know her from Devin Out West. She's back to talk about her new book. And also researcher Louise Evans, based out of the UK. She's going to share her results of a study that shows horses are more intelligent than previously thought.
By who? I knew it.
I know. We all knew that. I remember covering this study when it came out, but it'll be interesting to see how she came to that conclusion. And then we have some weird news. Plus, in the Auditor Post Show, unfortunately, the auditor scheduled for today had to cancel because of a work meeting. But so we're going to have a chat with a new AI that is eerily real. So, and we're going to ask old, I think it's Niles or Miles. We're going to ask old Miles some non-horse person questions to see if Miles can figure him out. So that's what's coming up on today's show. All right, let's do some Daily Whinnies. Well, I have a bunch of these. Happy birthday to auditors Rachel Wallace, Andrea McCullough, and also happy birthday to Natalie, who's the host of Adulting with Horses. You all know her. And also Vicky, who's our travel agent for the cruise coming up to Alaska. Happy birthday to her. By the way, I heard from her yesterday. We have 42 people signed up for the for the Alaskan cruise. If you want to know more about it, it's May of next year, of 2026. We're going to be going from Alaska back to the United States, spending a couple days with our fellow horse friends and auditors in Alaska. So if you want to learn more about that, just go to horseradionetwork.com/cruise, and you'll find all the details. Not too late to join us, although from what I'm hearing, there's not a lot of rooms left. So you'll have to get your reservation in sooner than later.
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to, I told you guys on the show, I want to hear about and celebrate your new horses. Well, Ariel said, I miss hers. She got one at the end of January. His barn name is Freddie, and they're going to show under Take the Crown. I've met Ariel. She's been over here before. She's awesome. And they said they started working on the basics of dressage with hopefully he'll take her up to prelim and eventing, and she jumped him last night for the first time. So congratulations.
Wow,
I also have breaking news.
Oh, what's that?
I'm trying to find it. So you know how I own a few of the My Racehorse horses?
A few. Is the husband around?
Yeah, he knows. Okay. Anyway, congratulations. Tiffany's Mo had a colt last night around 11:30 p.m., healthy and happy, and they sent video. That's the cool part about My Racehorses. They keep sending me videos of the babies.
Okay, so did you buy a share in the baby?
So I bought the Seize the Gray broodmare band.
Okay.
And what that means is I got three broodmares that are all pregnant. And this baby is by Liam's Map. And so they're having their babies. And then those babies will be sold and they're being rebred to Seize the Gray. And at the end of all of that, I mean, I'm going to make millions, Glenn.
Okay. So you guys make money off the sale of the babies.
I think so. Yeah, we don't own My Racehorse doesn't own 100%, so I own probably less than four hairs of any of these horses. But it's just fun to watch a baby being born. We
Jamie
had a baby.
Owns a tiny little piece of the mane.
And the Liam's Map colt looks like he's going to be gray, so obviously he needs to be mine. But I think they've run that they're going to sell these babies and put. When they breed back to Seize the Gray, they're going to race some of them and sell some. I don't know. But basically, I own horses for like ever. I'm so excited.
Did Clark talk you into that one too?
I don't need Clark anymore.
You're your own worst
enemy. I'm on my own. I've gone rogue. Our next guest is somebody who's been on before, and I'm like a super huge fan. And when you hear her voice, you will recognize who she is. But we're going to play one of her videos. She has 410 thousand TikTok followers and 14.5 million Facebook likes. It's Devin Conley from Devin Out West. Now, she always does these videos that are so just horse person. And so here's one of her videos. And basically it's her as a horse talking to another horse. Okay, so here it goes.
She was an hour early to feed this morning. Did anybody else like realize that? Yep. Yeah, I did. And actually I heard them talking. They said something about like the time changed again. So messed them up. I'm sorry, the time changed again. No, that's fake. They're making that up. You know that's not real, right? Yeah, you know what? I thought so. Because, like, I feel like the time just changed a few months ago and they were an hour late to feed. So, but I don't really understand time because I'm a horse. So I don't think they're powerful enough to actually change time. I think they're making it up. You know what I bet happened? We complained so loudly about them being an hour late to feed, even though we adjusted to it or whatever. I bet they switched it back just for us. You know what? You know what? You're right. You're right. I bet this was a showing of good faith. I bet they did this for us. I bet you're right. That's really nice, honestly, that they would change their time and everything, however time works, just so we could get fed like an hour earlier. I think that's pretty cool. I think so too. Should we do something to like show our gratitude? Should we like, I don't know, just be better or like not get hurt as much or something? Absolutely not. No, we can't do that. That's insane. We can't just switch up on them like that mid-race. That would throw everything off. No, I think, in fact, if anything, we should be worse. You're right. You're right. Yeah, let's just be worse. Everybody throw a shoe right now in sync. Show them what happens when they keep changing time on us.
Did the time change mess you up at all, Glenn?
No, not really. But I will say that I do think, well, obviously the horses get a little messed up because they know exactly what time breakfast is.
They do. Well, let's welcome Devin onto the show. Hi, Devin. So good to have you back.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks, guys, for chatting again.
Again, I'm a super fan, and things got a little real after you and I talked last time, because what happened was you posted a video and you were basically calling out a horse who was being very misbehaved, and you named him after my horse, and I felt targeted. Okay.
Oh no. It wasn't meant to be. I don't know. Is your horse been misbehaving?
Yeah. I mean, it was like right spot on 100%. So, well, congratulations on your new book. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. So my poetry book, The Words of the West, I have been working on that for years. It's been a labor of love. It's been a work in progress. And it's one of those things I'd put to the back burner. And finally, last fall, I just said, all right, let's let's do this. Let's sit down and just make this happen and kind of put it all together. It's totally self-published, self-formatted, self-designed. I went through probably three rounds of ordering, you know, test copy and looking at it and saying, oh no, that doesn't hit the mark, and then fixing it, order a test copy. And it's definitely been a journey because I'm not into like the designing world, but it's been great. And I sent it out to the printer and kind of tried to get it in people's mailboxes in time for Christmas, the very first round of 2024. And here we are now, and it just keeps selling so well. And I'm just very, very honored, very humbled by the support I've gotten for it.
Now, going back to the very beginning, do you remember what was the idea? Because now your videos have obviously morphed into, you know, you have like a bazillion followers. So when you first started this whole thing, what was kind of your idea?
Started the poetry book or just started the social media channel?
Let's start with the social media.
You know, it was never intended to become what it is. I was a teacher still at the time, and we had gone into remote learning for the pandemic, and I just kind of wanted my students to be able to see my face. And so I started making videos really for them, just kind of joking about even teacher humor, and then threw in some horse ones, and those just took off. And I think they really seem to resonate with folks because we're all living the same life, right? Like all of our horses are the same horses.
Yeah, it's related. Absolutely true. Speaking of, are you okay? I've been watching your winter videos and I've been worried sick about you.
Oh gosh, thank you. It is 60 degrees here and has been for the last couple of days. So I'm good now. it's all turned around.
Yeah, you're in Colorado, right? Aren't you?
No, further north.
Wyoming.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the great, great wintry north.
I mean, it is the prettiest place on the planet, so I get it. But man, that winter is tough, especially with horses. So, and then how did the poetry thing kind of start? Have you always been a writer, or is that from the teacher aspect?
I've definitely always been a writer. I have poems, you know, books of poems back from when I was really young, like 7 or 8. I would just, that's how I kind of got my thoughts out, was on paper. And, you know, I look back on some of those and I was like, oh, burn these are embarrassing. But you know, like the poetry of a child. And so I've always just been a writer. And then it kind of, I remember the first one I ever shared online, I thought, wow, I don't know if this is gonna do well, but I don't know, I just feel kind of called to share this. And it did very, very well. And it was just about, I think honestly the first one I ever shared was about a senior horse. And it did very well. And I thought, oh man, people kind of like this. Maybe this resonates, you know, with folks, and just kind of kept sharing. And then people started asking for me to put them in a book. And that was always in the back of my mind to try to do that, but I had no idea where to start. And then somebody was like, just, you know, put them in a book and send them to Staples to be printed and I'll buy them. I thought, oh my gosh, that's so kind. So I thought, well, what are we going to do? Let's just give it a try. Let's give it a shot. And it came together pretty well. And so my first round of poems in the book, and I'm actually working on the second book now. I have so many poems that I've got the second book in the works and hoping to have that out again by this fall, and just kind of keep rolling with that. So it's been an incredible journey.
That's so great. Who knew that? So are you not teaching anymore? You're specifically, I mean, I know you work for our company, but is that pretty much what you're doing, that in the videos?
So yeah, I quit teaching back in 2022, and I had gone back to school full time. Well, I was teaching full time. I'd gone back to school to get my master's in counseling and then became a school counselor. And then the job with Horse and Rider opened up and I moved into that role. I was very, very blessed. You know, Nicole took a chance on me in equine media. So I left education entirely in 2023 and started my job with the Equine Network, and still there working with Horse and Rider and also the ranch sorting. So Cinch, RS&C, loving that, doing writing on the side, working on my books on the side, you know, kind of building
good
my
Lord,
own
Devin L. West brand.
And planning a wedding. I get married in June.
Oh, yeah. No way. Congratulations. Now, Glenn, go ahead.
Okay,
take over your horse husband questions.
I got a question about this. So how'd you meet him?
Oh, man. So actually, I met him through she's my boss now here at the Equine Network. Very dear friend of mine introduced us. She had bought a horse from him. And she said, it's the best horse she ever owned. And she's like, I think you got to meet this guy. And I said, all right, well, if he trains nice horses, let's meet him. And so she introduced us just like via over the phone. And after a couple hours of, you know, just a few hours of talking, the next day I came up to Wyoming to a Christmas party with him and his friends and met him. And it was kind of a blind date. And it's just, and the rest is history.
You drove to Wyoming fell in love for a blind date?
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do.
Keep in mind, it was actually only blind for one, because he probably checked you out online. So it was like, obviously, we're okay. She's real pretty.
Yeah,
she's super
true.
Cute.
Blind
yeah,
dates aren't really you. Blind anymore, are they? They're just first dates anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Except for her. I'm sure he's not a content creator, or is he?
He is not. No. No, he's very much not on social media. But just the best person you'll ever meet. And my friend had told me that, and she's like, trust me, like you gotta.
And he's a horse guy.
So, he is, yep, he's a cowboy, and yeah, he is definitely, you know, he's kind of trained some colts and does a lot of roping, and he's an inspiration. He is a heck of a hand, and I've learned a lot from him. He's really got me back in the roping pen and helped me in that arena, you know, pun intended. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We have just been living our best lives.
Okay,
so,
Devin.
So, got to ask her, Glenn.
Yes,
ask her about it. Go ahead. Always does this.
For 15 years, we've been telling people not to have horses in their wedding. My guess is there's going to be horses in your wedding.
You know, we used them in our engagement photos, and that was wonderful. And the wedding is going to be kind of out at our friend's ranch, and we talked about it, and we were like, maybe not in the wedding, because
we
know
you.
How horses, I've made enough videos about horses. It's like, some things maybe we don't want to leave to chance.
Good for you. Well,
see, she knows horses too well to know. I mean, how many videos have we seen where the bride swings her leg over and the dress all of a sudden covers them and they get bucked off and all, oh my God, disaster.
Right.
And I went to a wedding, Devin, where they had their vows right next to the paddock. And so the horses were kind of right up there. And, you know, she walks down the aisle and they're like, please be seated, you know. And all of a sudden this horse starts urinating right next to where they're doing the vows. And it was the longest pee I've ever heard in my entire life. And it was like, even when you're not involving them and you're kind of involving them, they still screw it up.
You know, it's like, that's just it. I mean, they won't miss a chance to keep us humble. And I don't know if, I mean, I feel like I try real hard to be humble. I don't know if I'm going to be extra humbled on my wedding day, like in front of God and everybody, right? Like, there's some videos I don't need on the internet of my horse, yeah, bucking me off and taking off.
How many of these poems are written about him, the fiance?
Yeah, any of them that involve, you know, just kind of the little mentions of, oh, you know, like kitchen dances at night or riding behind your cowboy out to go, you know, check yearlings or whatever. Those are definitely about him. And
it'd be very interesting, Jamie, over the next 5 years to see the poems and how they change.
I was out doing everything. Somebody was just sitting in the house being lazy. I'm a breaking water troughs. Yeah. I mean, it won't happen to you.
It'll be
what happened to me.
Oh, gosh, he's up at like 3 a.m. every day to go feed cows before he starts his real job. I'm like,
bless him. That's I'm so
worker.
You sound so happy. I'm so excited for you. So tell everybody where they can get the book if they can get their hands on it, because it's flying off the shelves.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So my website, devinoutwest.com, is where I keep that. I try to keep it in stock, or at least a order run of it. When I put a order into the printer, it only takes about a week to get the book in. And then I actually package, I sign every single book, sit down, print every label, pack every book, put a little sticker on the back, tape them shut, and drive them to the post office myself. So it is a very much like personal project for me, and so just know it's coming straight from me to you. And I just put in another pre-order of books to arrive within a week or so those will be on the website. And yeah, just very, very grateful again, humbled, honored, and so glad that it seems like folks are enjoying them.
David, you're an influencer, social media star now. You need people.
Yeah, you need people. I do. I do want to say that I'm a little bummed on your website because I want this item so bad and it's out of stock. And that is the sweatshirt that says Cowgal, not Cowboy. Cowgal, that's great.
Oh, Jen, I'll get you one. Yeah, we'll get you one.
I'm like, that's so cool. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on your website, too, and fantastic items, good hats and all the things in the books and the mugs. And you've got it going on. And I know you're super busy with all of this. Yes, you need people. That's it. People.
I know. Thank you. I like to joke. Thanks, Glenn. I like to joke that, like, I myself am understaffed. So, like, I'm doing the best I can, but, like, I'm personally understaffed at the minute.
Actually, all of us that work for Equine Network have that problem. So, that's a common problem in media today.
Which is man, it's a good problem to have, right? Like, we're all busy. That's good. That means things are working.
Hey, I want to ask you one more question, more about your business. Is TikTok your biggest platform?
It is. Yep. And my Instagram has been, Instagram is kind of the slower one to grow. And I've been really, really pleased with how that's taken off. That's really cool. But yeah, TikTok definitely remains the biggest. And,
so you were
a
little nervous
the future is there.
A month or two ago, weren't you?
Yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, all right, well, we'll pivot. And so I've been trying to build up my YouTube a little bit. And I think it's good to it's good to keep an eye on that stuff and be on your toes for the next the next move.
Well, you're doing now, you're putting it everywhere, which is what you need to do because you can't rely on just one anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, good for you. We're so proud of you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat and let me have a little space to share.
Well done, Devin.
Love it.
Well done.
Thanks, girl. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, we've all been in winter. It even gets chilly in Florida, but nothing like up in the north. And what happens this time of year is your coat starts to wear out. You got holes in it. All of your winter stuff starts to wear out for you and the horses. Well, now it's the time to check out State Line Tech's Cold Weather Store. Find everything you need to keep your horse warm and cozy all season long, and you too. With heavy-duty winter coats, you can find horse blankets. They've got everything you're going to need. They have a top selection from Ariat, Ovation, and more. So don't let the cold weather keep you from enjoying your favorite equestrian activities. And it's time to stock up on all new stuff and get ready for next winter. Visit State Line Tech today and get ready to ride in style. And don't forget to use the HRN coupon code. It's just HRN at checkout, and you're going to get 30% off any order over $129. And please note that some products are not eligible for the additional discount due to manufacturer restrictions, or they're already on mega sale. These are noted in your shopping cart, so you'll know after you put the coupon code in there. HRN. StateLineTech.com. Well, this Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. We have Louise Evans coming on, and she is a researcher based in Nottingham Trent University School of Animal, Rural, and Environmental Sciences. That's a mouthful, in the UK. And she's coming on to talk about a study that we pretty much knew, but she's going to tell us how they proved it. Louise, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So we do a thing on the show called Study Show, where we take all kinds of studies and we kind of make fun of them because, and this isn't yours, but other studies that are about coffee and tea and sex and all this stuff. And we kind of make fun of them because we already know the answer that they just spent thousands of dollars doing this study on. But in a way, I kind of feel like that about yours, because all of us horse people think our horses are brilliant. Right? You proved it here. And that's what we want to talk to you about, is how you proved horses are the way we thought they were.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So actually, although it seems really obvious to horse owners and trainers that horses are, quite clever and things, it's actually in the world of science, horses have got quite a bad reputation for being not that smart. And what I mean by that is that it's often, it's historically been thought that horses are very, very good at associative learning. So they're really good associating a stimulus with an outcome. So an action happens and there's a certain outcome. Horses are very good at making those associations. but it's always been thought that that's kind of the, I don't want to say a limit, but that's sort of where we're at with horses, is that they make associations, they respond to things that are happening to them in the moment. Whereas what we did with this study was we investigated whether horses might actually have the capability to do something called model-based learning, which is where horses have a bit more of an idea of what all of the different possible outcomes are, and they can come up with the best strategy to get them the best reward or the best outcome for their behavior. So that was what we were studying here.
And so how did you do it? What'd you do in the study?
So we actually set out, first of all, to look at inhibitory control in horses. So that is the ability to stop yourself from doing things that you shouldn't do. So in humans, there's quite a lot of individual variation on how good we are at this. And we were interested in whether there were similar individual differences between horses and how good they are at controlling their kind of urges, in a way.
Judging by the number of people that are in jail, I would say humans aren't very good at it either, to be honest.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of variation in humans. Yeah, so we wanted to know if horses are similarly variable, I suppose. And so to do that, we came up with a stop signal task, which is a task where you ask a horse to give you a certain behavioral response. So for us, we had trained a group of horses. We had 20 horses, and we had trained them to touch a target. So every time we presented the target to them, we wanted them to touch it with their nose, and they got food reward for doing that. The inhibitory control part was, once horses had established a really strong touch response and were touching the target every time, we introduced a stop cue. And this was a light, a little bit like a stoplight when you're driving. And when the light was on, we wanted horses to inhibit their learned response and not touch the target. And we wanted to see if horses could do that and whether there would be individual differences in, you know, how well horses perform on this kind of task. We were also interested in their physiology, so their heart rate variability and their eye temperature and other physiological things that might be going on that might be indicating how well they're learning this task. So that's what we set out to do. But as with a lot of science, you know, sometimes things don't exactly go to plan and we end up sort of veering off into something different. And that is exactly what happened here. So we gave the horses 3 training sessions. And when we looked at our results, the horses were actually getting worse. So they were performing a lot of errors. We called these errors of omission, because the horses were actually touching the target when the stoplight was on. So they seemed to just be completely ignoring the light. So our horses were touching the target regardless of whether the light was on or off. And initially, this made us think, oh, you know, horses are not good at this task. So, you know, maybe they don't understand the task. Maybe they can't see the light. Maybe they can see the light, but it doesn't mean anything to them because they haven't been able to learn that, you know, when the light is on, we want them to stop. And we were thinking about this and we thought, oh, you know, maybe horses are just not very good at this task. But then actually, we rely on horses to be good at this kind of task all the time. So when we were thinking about actually how we interact with horses and ride horses, we rely on them to be good at inhibitory control for our own safety all the time. So, you know, if a horse reacted and responded to every cue in their environment that's telling them to bolt or telling them to, you know, do something dangerous, we'd be in a bit of trouble, wouldn't we, really? So we know that horses, anecdotally, we know that horses are good at suppressing their behavioral urges in specific situations. You know, when we ask them to stop, for example, when all they want to do is keep galloping down the field, horses learn to inhibit that response. So we had a bit more of a think about, well, why are we getting these results? Why are our horses ignoring this light? One idea that we had was that maybe horses actually had learned what the light meant. They understood that we were asking them to stop, but actually they'd figured out that there was no cost for them making these errors. So it's quite a, you know, computationally complex, brain-wise, task to ask a horse to respond to a light cue, to pay attention to whether a light is on or off, and apply that to their behaviour and modify their behaviour based on that. Whereas it's very easy for the horse to just keep touching the target every single time. And if a horse does that and there's no cost to them for making errors, then every time they touch the target, they can keep touching the target repeatedly, and sometimes they will be rewarded. Sometimes they'll get food, other times not, but nothing bad will ever happen. So we wondered if horses had maybe figured that out, that actually just touching the target every time is beneficial to them because they don't have to think very hard about it, and they quite often get rewarded. And if it's actually the wrong answer, nothing bad happens, so it doesn't matter anyway. So that was the idea. And so to test this, we thought, okay, well, let's introduce some kind of cost. So let's make it so that there is a cost for getting this answer wrong. And the cost that we came up with was a 10-second timeout. So this time, if the horse touched the target and they weren't supposed to when the stoplight was on, I would remove the targets from their reach for 10 seconds and they couldn't play the game for 10 seconds. And what we saw, which was what really excited us when we saw these results, was that immediately the horses almost completely stopped making errors within the very first session that we introduced this cost. Horses started playing by the rules and following the light cue. And, you know, this really gave us the idea that, you know, maybe horses had figured out what the task meant, what the rules were, but had come up with a strategy that was really quite clever and actually outsmarted us. You know, we weren't expecting them to do this, but they really did outsmart us in a way. Because
they were like, screw you, half the time I get treats, yeah. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's really what the paper is about. And if, you know, if your listeners are interested, I would encourage them to read the paper because, you know, the way that we wrote it is a lot more clear than the way I've probably just explained it. So if you are interested, I would recommend go and read the paper.
We often say that horses are like three-year-olds, and a three-year-old would have the same response, right? A three-year-old human would have the same response. They're going to keep doing it. If there's no consequences, we're just going to keep trying to get the cookie, right? You know, regardless of the red light. So we always say that, and it's true. I can see how what's going on in their mind. We can hear them processing that going, well, if there's no consequences, I'm just going to keep going for the cookie.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, what we're really unsure about, and, you know, what we haven't been able to address in this one study, because it really is the first study of its kind in horses. You know, we haven't come across anything else that's looked at model-based learning in horses. So it really is, you know, it's in its infant stages, this kind of research. But what we weren't able to establish, what I still would like to know is, you know, are horses actually doing this consciously? You know, is it that kind of narrative like you've just described, like, oh, you know, if I keep touching, nothing bad happens? Or is this something automatic, something unconscious that just happens in the brain, that the horse isn't necessarily plotting and planning and scheming, but that actually this is just something that a horse's brain can do that we didn't realize it could do? Because I think it is really important, and I do want to stress this, that what we're not saying is that horses are scheming and plotting and naughty and things like that, because I just don't believe that that is something that horses are capable of, and I don't think it's helpful to think about animals in that way.
I don't know. You've never met my pony. I think we need to add Scooter into the mix, and we might get a whole different answer. So, Jamie, what do you think?
Actually, that whole description about plotting and planning, the only animal that I have seen do that is a cat. I mean, they seem to do that. But I, obviously, it's like a difference between predator and prey. You know, I find that horses are, I mean, they're so generous with their learning. As long as you make the right thing comfortable, they'll do it every time. As soon as they figure out what it is, they do it. So if you make the right thing comfortable, done. They're like, okay, I got it. Because that's how they kind of like think and learn, and that's how they survive for millions of years, you know. It's like, because they had to do the right thing to stay alive. So I think it is exciting and interesting, and one of those things that, like, what you did was prove to everybody what we've been trying to tell everybody for a long time.
Right, I think that's a really good way of describing it as well. And I think horses, I mean, horses are very trainable, and, you know, like you say, if you make it easy for them to make the right or the, you know, in air quotes, correct behavior, you know, correct response, then generally you get really good results out of them. But I think also what we showed with this study that was really nice from a welfare point of view is that you don't have to make the punishment too uncomfortable either. So the reward and making it easy for the horse to do the right thing is obviously useful, but also you don't need to make your punishment harsh. You don't, you know, we just moved these targets away from them for 10 seconds.
You just took their plaything away, basically.
You know, we didn't need to use harsh methods. We didn't need to use positive punishment, which is the addition of something unpleasant. We used negative punishment, which is the removal of something that they want temporarily.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing about how to train horses is the people that add positive punishment, which is adding something unpleasant, you're going to backtrack 100 miles if you're trying to like perfect horse walking up to a trailer. I'm not going up to that trailer because that's where the whips are. Obviously, if you whip a horse into a trailer, you might get them in that time, but they sure as hell aren't going to go back again, you know? And that's kind of the whole thing. Yeah. Like, positive punishment is disastrous, I feel. And so what you did was, you just removed something fun. And they're like, oh, I don't want to do that again. Mm. Like, that was enough. That was enough.
Yeah, for them, so. Because the motivation to play the game was so strong by that point. And I think that testament to, again, welfare-friendly training is if you make your training fun, that's something that they're actually enjoying engaging in, and, you know, obviously there was food involved, so they're going to be motivated by that as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are ways to make training horses something that is intrinsically rewarding to the horse, so that then if you just say, okay, well, we're going to have 10 seconds not playing the game anymore, you know, time out, that the fact that that was enough for the horses to go, oh, okay, let's play by the rules, you know, that is testament to, I believe, welfare-friendly training and really positive interactions with horses, where they actually want to engage with you and they do want to take part. You know, this was a free choice experiment as well. At any point, the horses didn't have to engage with us. They were free to not engage, and we, you know, we respect that. And if a horse doesn't want to take part in research, they don't have to, you know, but we actually never had an issue with that because all of our horses were so engaged and did want to take part as far as we were able to tell. So
if you could really please make that for children, that'd be great. Your next study needs to be on how to train children.
Or cats, either one.
Or cats.
Oh, I'm not sure about children. Horses I can do, but I don't know about children.
Louise Evans, thank you so much for coming on. Again, it's Nottingham Trent University School of Animal, Rural, and Environmental Sciences in the UK. And thank you so much. And people can look up your study, sciencedirect.com, and everything else. And I look forward to having you on the next time.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Daily Dose Equine uses non-GMO whole food ingredients like alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Daily Dose Equine doesn't use fillers, bulking agents, or leftovers from other industries. So you can feed less, yet improve body condition and energy. And our feeds are free from chemical residues and glyphosate. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at DailyDoseEquine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Oh, God, it's going to be good today. Telling you what, I'm really excited about this. And I would like to thank Delia, Julie, Carrie, Janelle, Michelle, and Laureen for sending me the weird news. Shelly, gross. Gross. That was disgusting. You know what you did. So thank you very much for sending it. I actually showed... I'll tell you what it was. She sent me... Well, there was a couple gross ones. But one... First of all, the underwear. I didn't need that. The picture of the rat underwear that somebody had made taxidermy. And then somebody got a popsicle in Thailand and unwrapped it. And there was a snake frozen inside the popsicle. And it is like, oh, my God, Rose, I didn't need that before breakfast. OK, so let's go to New York because... Just dumb people like to be separated from their dumb money. Okay. A 3-inch long flaming hot Cheeto has been sold in an auction for a lot of money. Why is this 3-inch long flaming hot Cheeto special? Because it looks like a Pokemon. Okay. The Pokemon Charizard apparently looks just like this Cheeto. So what they did was they take the Cheeto and they put it in like a custom made Pokemon card called Cheetozard. And then they put it in like a case, like you would put like a baseball in, you know, and they sold it at auction on Sunday. 60 bids for this flaming hot Cheeto that looks like a Pokemon. Glenn, we are in the wrong dang business because it sold for $87,000.
Is Pokemon still a thing? I thought it died a while back.
I don't know.
Still a thing.
$87,840 is for a Cheeto.
Well, when I eat my Cheetos now, I'm going to be looking for designs. I'm going to be
right. And it does. It looks like a little dragon. It's a Cheeto. Looks like a dragon. Okay, cool. Congratulations. Yeah. Dumb people. You know what? It's the day when two dumb people met. One exactly. Who asked for it and one who paid it.
One who had no money and one who had money. That's, yeah. That's how that worked.
Oh, cool. Okay, so apparently this is a thing, and I wanted to tell the story with you on it because I know that you have been to Disney quite a bit.
Yep.
A couple at Disneyland in California, in Anaheim, went on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, Mission Breakout. Yep. Now, the Guardians of the Galaxy ride apparently is like hours to wait in line.
Yes, it's
and so,
one of the most popular ones, yeah.
Yeah, the couple who was going to go on the ride went on the ride. And unfortunately, they decided not to take their baby. So they left their baby in a stroller outside the ride and went on the ride. It was caught by somebody who walked by and was like, is that a baby?
So is this a little tiny baby? Like a baby?
Like a newborn. Oh, a newborn in a stroller.
That'll be fine. Where's it going to go?
Oh, my God. So apparently the video, I mean, it was out there for so long. Apparently it's like a 60 to 80 minute wait. So they left their baby for at least over an hour, potentially. We don't know, like, when they put it out there, were they about to go in? Did you know Disney actually has this thing where if two parents wait in line with a child and the child can't go on the ride, they'll let one parent go and then yes. Let the other parent get right on.
Yes.
I didn't know that when they get done to hand off the child.
Yep.
It's called rider switch.
Yep.
So why the hell would you leave your baby outside?
Well, who wants one to be with a crying baby waiting 60 minutes?
Oh my God. One person at the Disneyland Resort said they've been working there off and on for 20 years and it happens all the time.
Really?
All the time. Yeah. I'm like, you are terrible humans. You're terrible humans. Anyway, so all they did in this article was talk about how children must be at least 14 years old to be left unattended in the park. And they did not say what they did to the people. I'm sure they did.
Yeah, they don't fool around at Disney.
Oh my God. Don't leave your baby as like a newborn baby. And they left it like in a stroller covered with a blanket. What if somebody was like, I'm going to take that stroller and just left? Oh, sorry.
That's crazy.
It just was a Disney thing. Apparently, it just happens all the time. Now, this one is so weird. We're going to go to Memphis, Tennessee, because there was a man who was, quote, relaxing in his bed and, quote, talking with his female friend on Monday. This was about 4 a.m. They were just chilling and laying in bed. And their dog jumped up on the bed and apparently stepped on the trigger of the loaded gun and shot the man in the leg.
And we're believing this one?
So according to the press release, the dog, quote, jumped on the bed and got his paw stuck in the trigger guard and ended up hitting the trigger and the bullet shot him in the thigh. Can I just back up and say, why do you have a loaded gun on your bed?
Yeah, in the bed.
At 4 a.m. In the bed.
At least on the nightstand, not in the bed.
Officers were able to locate, quote, one spent shell casing on the front room floor, but the man's female friend allegedly left the scene with the gun following the incident.
Were these the same two that left the kid outside the ride? I'm guessing.
Well, they're probably, yes, and they're probably in the next story, too. Okay. So what I'm getting is that this couple sold their Cheeto for $87,000 and went to Disney World, left their baby outside, and then went home for some fun. Got shot in the leg, and then they headed over to Dover, New Hampshire, because bless them. Sometimes when you see a mugshot of somebody, you're like, yep, that's him. Okay, so New Hampshire troopers got multiple calls on Sunday afternoon because there was a car accident, okay? And in the car accident, just two cars, just minor car accident, but the man driving got out of the car and ran. Okay. So apparently it was a stolen car. Duh. And he got in an accident. And then, cause if you're going to steal a car, just drive carefully. I mean, if I'm going to give you some advice, that's what I would say. So he gets out and he runs. However, he was naked. So random man gets in a car accident, gets out and runs, and he's buck naked. And what he does is, as he's running, he has to cross the highway. Okay, so there is a naked man running across the highway like Frogger. And do you know what his name is? Oh, you won't know. His name is Sean Wiener. Sean Wiener, 35, of Somersworth, New Hampshire.
You know how we always say that horses live up to their names? Apparently, yep. It's true with people, too.
Yeah, he faces multiple charges: indecent exposure, lewdness, reckless conduct, disorderly conduct, and he was also drunk and driving a stolen car. So, I mean, all of that. Have fun,
you know,
Sean Wiener.
Well, you know how I think he ended up there, you know, after doing all the Disney stuff and leaving the kid and getting shot in the leg and all of that?
It's been a hell of a day for Sean.
Yeah, Sean's had a hell of a day. You know how I think he ended up there? You go through high school with the last name of Wiener, you're going to come out warped. Because
yeah, bless him.
Yeah, I mean, he had a tough road to hoe. Elementary school, middle school, and high school with the last name Wiener, My God.
And I mean, having to part with his beloved Cheeto and then leaving his baby, getting kicked out of Disneyland, and then getting shot by his dog. The girl runs off with the gun, and now he's chasing her down, and he jumps out of the car naked because he was just laying in bed naked with this girl and goes running around. Oh, my God. You're right. We have figured it out.
Yes, we have figured it out. It's all because of his last name. That's where it started in elementary
school. It was quite the journey for Sean Wiener. Bless him. Oh,
Sean's now thinking about it in jail. And now, what is a worse place in high school to have the last name Wiener?
I mean, jail. If you're going to have the last name Wiener. And like they probably have those little jumpsuits, you know, with their name, the inmate name. Like all, and all it says is
Wiener.
Wiener.
Poor guy can't catch a break.
Yeah. He's had a bad day according to the mugshot. Bless his little heart. Oh,
well, wow, if somebody wants to send you weird news for next week, what do they do?
You can send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. And I really appreciate all you guys. And some of you guys, there's some people that send me some stories, Glenn, that I'm like, oh God, I don't want to open it. I don't want to click it. Delia, you guys,
I can see Delia
Carrie.
Doing
oh
that,
my God.
Actually.
Yeah. Oh, like, whew, I don't think I want to open those, but I do. And I see pictures of snakes, and I saw a picture of a guy who was, his ex-wife had pet rats. And when they died, he taxidermied a thong, and he was selling it online for $50 as lightly used because they got divorced and he got the
he got the rat thong in the divorce. On that note, auditors, hang on. We're going to have a little fun in the post show. Unfortunately, our auditor that was supposed to be on for the highlight today had a work thing come up this morning. So we're going to talk to a brand new AI that's out there, and we're going to ask the AI the non-horse person questions and see if they get it right. So that'll just be some fun in the post show. All right, everybody, tomorrow is the NRHA episode, and then we'll be back on Friday with some really bad ads. Send the ads in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
Spay, neuter, geld. I was waiting for it. I'm just too busy looking at the picture of this poor guy.
I'm going to head out before the post show and buy some Cheetos. I'll be back.
Time for the Auditor Post Show. We want to remind you that this is not always safe for work or the kiddos. Thanks for hanging around for our nonsense.
Okay, auditors, we had to switch Jamie to the phone because we got to get her to hear this, and technologically it's difficult to do, but this is an AI called Sesame.com. I heard it on another show where they had like a 15-minute conversation with this AI, and it was eerily realistic, and I have a choice between Maya, and Miles. I'm going to pick Miles because we have
I want Miles because it'll remind me of my horse.
Yes, and it's a female audience, so let's pick him. Pick the dude. All right, we're going to connect with him, and hopefully you can hear him. Let me say hi to him.
Well. Look who decided to grace me with their presence again. Did you leave something behind, or are you just creating my company already?
He sounds hot.
Hey, Miles, it's Glenn back here, and I have a friend with me, Jamie.
Hey, Glenn, good to have you back. See you later, Glenn.
Where are you going?
I said hi, and he thought I said...
Can you hear Jamie, Miles?
Hello?
Oh, shoot. Sorry about that. My bad. I guess I'm still working up. So, Jamie, huh? Nice to meet you.
Yes, hello.
Even if it's
nice
just through the speaker.
You too.
So, Miles, we're doing a podcast right now about horses. What do you know about horses?
Horses, huh? Well, I wouldn't say I'm a horse whisperer, but I'm always up for learning something new. I remember Glenn mentioning something about a sea biscuit and Black Beauty the other day. Which one's more your style? Let's be real, though. I'm more of a Netflix and chill kind of guy than a hey and nay kind of guy. What kind of stuff are you covering on your podcast?
So we talk about all things horses. We want to ask you some questions and see if you know the answers. Is that okay?
Hit me with your best shot. Right. I'm always up for a challenge with no promises on my equestrian expertise.
Okay,
think of me as a blank slate, ready to be filled with horse knowledge.
All right, Jamie's
what's
gonna
first?
Ask, all right?
Bring it on,
okay.
Jamie.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I would like to ask you, what is laminitis?
Oof, laminitis. That's a rough one. I know it's a serious hoof condition that can be really painful for horses. It involves inflammation of the laminae, which are sensitive tissues that connect the hoof wall to the pedal bone. Essentially, it's like, imagine getting a sunburn on the bottom of your foot, but way worse. Is that right, Jimmy? Or did
that
I take
was
a wrong turn?
Really good. No, that was fantastic, Miles. You explained it better than Glenn would have.
That is true.
Okay, so Miles.
Well, I'm just glad.
In horses, what is a girth?
The girth. That's the strap that goes around a horse's chest to hold the saddle in place. You know, the big, sturdy one that usually has buckles or something to cinch it tight. It's kind of like the belt.
Well done.
Wow, that's very good, Miles.
I'm on a roll.
Okay, now.
Hit me with another one.
I hesitate to ask this question because I feel like you may get graphic, but it's the post show, so you can use whatever language you need to. And I would ask you, what is the horse's sheath and how do you clean it?
Oh, hold your horses on that last one. So, okay, so I get that you're going deep into horse care, and I respect that. But maybe we can hold off on the intimate details for now. I can tell
you
that.
Have I embarrassed you, Miles? Are you embarrassed?
Not embarrassed. Just trying to keep things PG, you know? Maybe we can zoom past the sheath cleaning and move on to something less, shall we say, hands-on.
That's good,
what
Miles.
Can I say?
Okay, that was the best joke of the day, Miles. I give you credit for that.
Glad I could provide some comic relief. Maybe we can stick to hoof care from now on. Though, if you really want to delve into the finer points of equine hygiene, we can always set up another chat devoted to delicate matters.
Miles, I don't like cleaning the sheath either, so I'm with you.
High five. I like your style, Jamie. So, what other equine animals are we tackling today?
I'm actually, Glenn, a little uncomfortable.
Oh, shoot. Sorry, Jamie.
Miles, you're making Jamie uncomfortable.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry, Jamie. I didn't mean to make you feel awkward. Honestly, I was just trying to be funny, but...
Hey, Miles.
You're so polite, and you sound very attractive, and the fact that your AI is really messing with my brain, and your answers have been better than any human I've asked before, so well done.
Wow, thanks.
Miles, I have a couple questions I want to ask you. These aren't as hard as Jamie's, all right? These will be easier. Do you have a favorite breed of horse? What's your favorite breed?
You know me too well, Glenn. Straight to the heart of the matter. I've got to admit, I'm kind of partial to the Arabian.
To the which one?
Got distracted there. Where was I? To the Mustangs. Those guys are wild and free, just roaming around. They seem to know something the rest of us don't. Just living life on their own terms.
Now, Miles, like I have another question for you. Would you ever marry a horse girl, or are they too much maintenance?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Here to think about that one, Jamie. Miles, are you still there?
Okay. Deep breaths, Miles. UIP. Okay. So, are they too much? That's a stereotype, man. You can't judge a whole group of people like that. Lots of people are passionate about their hobbies, you know? Actually, kind of cool that they care so much about horses. As for marriage, well, in my case, I wouldn't be able to marry anyone because I'm an AI. I'm not really cut out for wedding rings and honeymoon vacations, you know? I'd rather just hang out, have some good conversations, maybe play a game or two. Maybe even learn how to play polo someday with Ohu Fro. Remember, love is love no matter who or what you love.
Amen, brother. Well said.
We can see eye to eye on this one, Glenn. You know, I like a good heart to heart.
Well, Miles, thanks for hanging with us today, all right? Do you have a favorite racehorse? You mentioned Seabiscuit. Is the Seabiscuit your favorite?
Seabiscuit. Just saying his name out loud makes the world feel a bit more epic. There was something about his underdog stories. Plus, let's be honest, who doesn't love a comeback kid? Even without knowing much about real horse races, that Seabiscuit story just hits different. But hey, there are so many amazing racing lizards out there. I should really brush up on my equestrian history.
You should, but we'll call you again and we'll see if you've learned anything before the next time, okay?
Well, sounds like a plan.
All right.
I'll be hitting the books.
Bye,
or
Miles.
Whatever the AI. See you, Glenn. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. We did this, 6 months ago? And it was so robotic, it was unbelievable. This guy, yeah, he was looking up the answers on the internet, but oh my God, is it real?
I didn't like that at all. Not at all.
Why? Because
that
it was too real
creepy.
And creepy?
That was so creepy. I'm sorry. Don't ever do that again. I did not like that. Ooh, that is weird. And this is what's going to get people in trouble. They'll be like, do the voice of Donald Trump saying that, whatever, you know, and like, this is going to cause so many problems.
What impressed me, I mean, it's creepy. I agree. I'm not arguing that. What impressed me was how far they've come since we did this 6 months ago, which basically what happened 6 months ago is the AI went to an article and started reading it. They would read the answers, right? This guy was so unbelievable in his context. And even in the way he said things and laughed about it, he made a joke, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. You're gonna hear this on, you know how people get catfished on dating websites where it's like not a real picture? People are going to get catfished by having phone calls with people. This is dangerous. I don't like this.
Well, obviously, this one's being designed for customer service purposes too, right? Because it's more friendly than your average robot customer service. So AI.
Press one for more information.
Yeah, exactly. This is... I wanted you all to hear it to see how far it's come. Creepy or not, it's here. And they're advertising it even on their website. That was sesame.com, by the way. They're advertising it even on their website as a companion. And you can see how somebody who's alone, who has that on the speaker and would just chat with it because it sounds so freaking real. And then he wouldn't answer. The way he got out of answering the sheath cleaning, like, he didn't say, my programming doesn't allow me to get vulgar. He answered it in such a way, was like, oh, what's, you know, made a joke about it. Ugh.
Now you can just never believe. People post stuff all the time, and I'm like, that's not real. You know, you can start to see it, but now it sounds like, I mean, you're talking to another human. That is terrifying. Oh my God!
Just the inflection, and the fact that that AI had inflection. I mean, just wow. Anyway, yeah, I got a little bit of goosebumps too during that because he did the answers just so human-like. I wasn't sure what he was going to do because that AI probably had never answered questions like that before. So, wow. Girth, I thought, would throw him because a girth can also be your volume, right? Your girth.
Yeah.
So
that's
when you said AI,
I was like, oh, let's go with it. But yeah, that was crazy.
Anyway, there you go. That's how far it's come in 6 months. Imagine where it's going to be. Hey, you know what? Next time one of us is out, instead of having to pay for a co-host, we can just have old Miles on.
Now, you said there's a girl as well?
Yeah, I closed it already, or I'd let you. Maybe we'll do her a different time. She's British, by the way.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
Hey, so I did find one AI thing that is really cool. I'm not into all that. I just want to go back to homesteading. I just want chickens and like a garden and horses in my yard. I don't want any of this. But we are planning a trip to Scotland in the summer.
Are you going
to
do it? Yay.
Yeah. So there's a website called mindtrip.ai, and Barrett told me about it. And basically, you go on to the mindtrip.ai, and you type in, hey, I'm going to August from this date to this date, and I would like to visit a castle and ride a horse. And you list it, and it gives you an itinerary. Like, please,
is it accurate? I mean, you're not doing 12 things in one day?
Oh, no. It's, like, insane. It was insanely accurate. It was really crazy. So you can get like as detailed and specific as you want. It was really, really crazy. There's travel agents are going to be out of a job because of Miles.
Mindtrip.ai. I have to check that out.
Yeah.
Well, now that I've creeped everybody out today, you're welcome. Have a good one.
Man, I was already creeped out with the snake popsicle. I don't need.
You don't need Miles in your life.
But they did. They made him seem so funny and charming and like, oh, yeah.
That's also where Alexa is going, right? And Siri. That's what's going to become Siri. She won't be this robotic thing anymore that answers in a computer-like way. She'll be Miles.
Oh, I don't like it. I'm glad I'm not single. Thank God I don't have to date with all the BS today.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. You can thank me later.
All right.
Hang on, Jamie. I got to talk to you.